At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Just a 1 hour Cody and Gold today. Royals going for the sweep.
Would you have cared if I just skipped today?
No.
You said no, so quickly. Like, nah, it'd have been fine.
Well, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
Oh, so you're officially taking off?
Yes.
Got to wait on that card, huh?
That's what it is,
man. I respect
it. That's what it is. I was hoping it was actually going to be slated for today, because then I would have just taken today and like, no big deal, 1 hour.
Yeah, 1 hour,
easy.
Sure.
So unfortunately, yes, it is still slated to show up tomorrow and it needs a signature. And I'm not going to risk not getting there when they're there, and then it's
a couple of listeners
weekend.
Offered to wait for you.
I'm sure. I appreciate that offer.
You wouldn't have trusted that?
There's nobody that honestly on when it comes like this, other than like
me. Would you have trusted me if you were out of town? Me, I'm not gonna rob you.
You don't live anywhere near me though, so that just wouldn't make sense. But yeah, I would, because I also know where you work, and like it'd be a big deal. Like you couldn't just get away with stealing it.
Yeah,
like you couldn't get away with.
There's some safeguards in place for it.
Yeah. But there's just like, it's one of those deals where I want to make sure that because honestly, I need to ship it out immediately. And for those that are just tuning in, like, what are you guys even talking about? You can listen to the podcast yesterday. This had a huge sports card that I pulled that's worth a lot of money. And so it's showing up very soon. And that's what we're hinting at.
But I know we're getting ready to talk about him, so I don't want to bum everybody out, but it is official. Noah Cameron has been optioned to Triple A.
We knew that was going to happen, no matter how he performed. And by the way, he was great last night. Congratulations to Noah Cameron. That's a hell of an MLB debut. You get a win, number one. You keep the Royals winning ways going. And, of course, you took a no-hitter in your debut into the seventh inning. So for your debut to go into the seventh with a no-hitter was awesome. We can get into like some more specific things. Now he knows some things to work on. I'm sure he will.
Got
to cut
right?
down
Tighten
the walks. Must be nice having Bobby Wood Jr. playing defense behind you. All that is true. But, yeah, man, that's great. What a confidence boost for him moving forward now. You know, the next time they call on him, when there will be a next time this
year. And
he'll
be the next name they call.
Absolutely. Again. Now he's already got the jitters and the open. In his first debut, all that is done, and hopefully he improves as well, because now he knows obviously what it's like to pitch in the big leagues at least for one outing. But that was awesome, and we said yesterday, could it give us a little bit of an early insight on this regime's pitching development in the minors? He's kind of the first one, maybe Alec Marsh.
Verne saying like, hey, there's been a couple of guys. Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. Like Alec Marsh maybe was one of them as well, but. It's the very first, very small sample size of it, but gives you some more promise maybe on some other pitchers too that they're developing, and could end up giving them some flexibility, not only this year with injury, possible, you know, trade stuff, but beyond this year, you know, knowing where this franchise might be headed. We were looking at it the other day, just how many players are under contract and how much money in a year or two. You know, there's an opportunity clearly for guys like Noah Cameron and others. Plus, the local connection makes it cool. So that was just awesome to see. Drew was even texting us, locked into the game as well. So that added some more intrigue to it. I think just the fact that you had somebody making their debut.
I didn't, you know, like, I want to talk about the individual himself, because I've told you yesterday, I love MLB debuts. It is still one of the, like, it doesn't. No other sport, I think, does a debut the way Major League Baseball does it. I'm not saying guys don't get it in the NFL. It just feels like, well, it's week one. So it's week one of the NFL. We don't care about everyone's debut. More normal, it's just week one of the NFL. They get lost in the shuffle. Same with the NBA. Baseball feels different because sometimes you make your debut in game one of the Major League season, but a lot of times it's, you know, a Wednesday in Florida and you're in a minor league park and you're Noah Cameron and you get asked to shove. The part of this that stands out, obviously, is that he went six scoreless innings. Does that mean that Noah Cameron is going to be a superstar pitcher for this team? No. Does it mean he stinks? No. Because I can point out the guys who had excellent debuts.
Jonathan Sanchez.
Who became excellent pitchers.
I thought you were just saying, like, guys are on pace for no-hitters and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then I can point out guys who had excellent debuts that it didn't go so hot for afterwards, including guys like Eric Skoglund or Jimmy Gobble. It is not an indicator of your future career success, but he will always get that moment. The major league debut thing is cool anyway, but in addition to it, he got to step on the mound and take a no-hitter through six innings of a baseball game, and yeah, some of it because his defense bailed him out. Who cares? He got to take a no-hitter into six innings. He got to celebrate with his family after the game last night, knowing that he helped his team win a baseball game. Getting sent down, and I know that there are going to be people that are like, but wait.
This is always going to happen.
How? This was written in the start. He could have thrown the no-hitter.
Yeah.
He was getting sent down to AAA. I know that that's not fair or the way that it should be sometimes, but that's just the situation. Because Cole Reagans, Michael Lorenzen, Seth Lugo, those guys, they're tied for the third best starting pitching ERA in baseball. The Royals have one of the top ERAs in all of baseball. This is their, like, one of the five or six greatest pitching months they've had in the month of April. So, like, the Royals can pitch. This is, but the sign of a good organization, and then again, we can talk more about just Noah Cameron himself. The sign of a good organization, Gold, you and I follow baseball a long time. The thing I was the most jealous of was the teams who could win even without a payroll, and the teams who, some guys would come up named Lars Nootbaar, you'd never heard of at the time, and you'd be like, who the hell's this guy? And he'd be a huge pain in the ass to the team you'd be up against. You're like, I've never even heard of this guy. The Cardinals just called him up from AAA. He's 27 years old, and I don't even know who he is, and he went 3-for-4. Good organizations have a guy show up when they're needed, even for a day, a week, a month, it doesn't matter, and they are immediate contributors at the big league level. Noah Cameron came up yesterday. He was an immediate contributor.
Yeah,
he mattered immediately.
He did. No, it was awesome. And that was, I think they mentioned a few times during the broadcast, the Royals, with where they were at, they were, you know, looking to stay above 500. Now they're above 500 and all that. This wasn't a year in which you're way below 500 and you're trying to figure out pieces of the future only, and there's some wiggle room. There's pressure to win right now. And so you're making your MLB debut on a team that needs to win right now. I think that's what kind of makes last night more impressive as well. Because, you know, it's much easier, I think, to make your MLB debut if you're on the Rockies right now, or if you're on the White Sox right now, or nobody's expecting you.
What are you trying to save for the team?
Yeah. You're on a team with the Royals right now, where if you're making your debut, no, you have to contribute and help them win right away. Now you don't have to put the team on your back, okay? But
the standard of pitching is high.
Yeah, the standard is definitely very, very high. Now I have to address something right out of the gate here game last night.
I was
tagged on multiple tweets last night.
That's not surprising.
And apparently you tweeted something, and I went and looked. I was like, we've been through this before.
Because you're like, why am I being tagged?
We've been through this before. I got tweets saying, make sure you yell at Cody about this tomorrow. What the hell was he doing? I'm like, what is going on? And then I go and I look.
Would you like to read the exact phrasing I used, or?
You quote tweeted MLB's Twitter account, which had a highlight that said, this was in the sixth inning, Noah Cameron making his major league debut. He's pitching, all caps, really, really well through six, with the eye emoji. This was when, of course, he still had the no hitter going on. Cody quote tweets it.
Yeah.
I don't believe in jinxes. He has six no hit innings. Fast forward 15 minutes later, second batter of the seventh inning.
Third, I think.
Okay. Third batter. Hit down the left field line past Michael Garcia's glove. Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Why'd you do that?
Why did you do that? They don't exist. They're not real.
That's messed up.
Some of the responses I got were straight up hateful. One person said, this is why people don't name their kid Cody anymore. One person just said, F you, Cody.
Oh, wow.
One person said, boo, you suck. One person, just said.
Here's the thing with it.
I
think what it is, it's like, you don't have to believe.
Me.
You don't have to believe in jinxes. But I can't remember who. Somebody last night tweeted you, and I saw the tweet, and I think, I apologize, I don't remember the person's Twitter account, but they were correct on this. You don't have to believe in the jinx, Cody, but you don't mess with the jinx. The same way this person described it, you may not believe in ghosts, but it doesn't mean you want to go stay in a haunted house for 50, you know, over that's been known for haunted houses for 50 years and go stay in the night there. Maybe you don't want to do
that.
You
don't say, come get me, ghost, you're saying?
Yeah, and you're doing that.
I'm tempting fate a little bit.
That's the issue. So I get it. I'm not a huge jinx guy either, but you don't mess with it because other people believe in it and you put it out there into the world. It wasn't just you like on your own and you're talking to your wife saying, this is a no-hitter. And you put it out there into public domain while it was happening, and sure enough, the next half inning, he gives up the hit.
People are upset with you
still today.
I could have sent that in the fourth. Am I responsible in the sixth? I wasn't the only person.
Not as much.
This is why jinxes don't exist. Who are you blaming first?
Baseball's
the first person to send the tweet? Huddler mentioning it on the broadcast? Me sending out a tweet? I think it was the braggadocious nature of this. This is a not believable thing.
That's what it was.
I was spitting in the face of the jinx versus
you did
just saying he has no hit innings. That was the problem, wasn't
it?
It was the nature.
You did not just say, hey, wow, Noah Kammer's pitching great. He's got a no hitter. Okay, people would have been mad at you, but you just
spit in the face.
You just said, I don't believe in jinxes. Basically, screw all of you on this. I'm telling you what's going on. That's the issue here, man. That's the issue with this, but people want me to ban you from singing.
Ban me? There's all kinds of stuff.
People want consequences.
I sang and Vinny hit a homer yesterday. He still 1-for-7?
Yeah.
What do you go, 1-for-3 last night?
I think so.
1-for-4. Again, 2 weeks. I'll add it up after 2 weeks. I heard Dusty trying to take credit for Vinny Pasquantino because they were calling our guy out.
Baseball, as you know, Cody, is as superstitious as any sport.
You know what's funny?
From the players to the managers to the media to fans. There's no other sport that believes in that more. You know what I mean? In football, you're not watching a game where, you know, Mahomes has 10 straight completions. You're like, oh, don't jinx him. He's going to throw an incompletion on the 11th one.
What's funny is,
don't do that.
This like took me time before I did this. Like baseball was the primary sport I played growing up. So like I played that more than any other sport. And I used to be superstitious. Like I remember, so there was a time I had to go fill in for a tournament for a team. And they were like, you know how this works. Like if you go and anybody who played youth baseball, be like, hey, we need an extra, like, are you available to play in the tournament this weekend? We're short of guys. Like, yeah, sure. I'll come play. And normally when you go fill in for these teams, they supply you the uniform. Logically, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it would be. I don't play for this team. I don't have the gear. I showed up and they were supplying the uniform, not the pants. And I was in like khakis, but like the game's in 35 minutes. So I played an entire game in khakis and I went like 3-for-4 and I was like, well, I'm playing khakis for you tomorrow. Game went great. Right? Like a triple and a couple of doubles. I'm like, well, I'm playing khakis. So I was a part of the system. I decided to break myself.
So you were a little stitious at one point.
I've tried to break myself of this system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was my problem, I guess, should have been maybe I don't need to spit in the face of it. I'll make you a deal. Because here's part of the problem is that this is not the first time I've been in trouble with this.
It happens about once a year.
Once a year, we got to bring up the same stories that get me in trouble. I once texted Brett Saberhagen in the middle of the eighth inning when Danny Duffy was in the middle of a no-hitter. I was like, hey, Brett, he's the last person, Drew, to throw a no-hitter for the Royals back in the 90s, like 1990, like almost the 80s. So I once sent him a text in the middle of like the seventh or the eighth inning. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, hey, Brad, do you have time? If Danny throws his no-hitter, can I get you in post-game? You're the last guy to throw it. And then he obviously did not throw a no-hitter. So I am guilty of being like, I don't just do it. I risk it all, I think, is the problem.
The strongest pushback I can give you on this comes from a texter, and they're 1,000% correct on this. Let me read this text. 1,000% correct. I'm so glad. 913-586-7965. This text came in from the 816. So, Cody, jinxes don't exist, but if you sing a song, a certain person will come out of their slump. Huh. Interesting.
You know?
Interesting.
I guess we call it jinx superstitious, maybe. Jinxing, no?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Only if it works, apparently, you know? Mm-hmm,
you know, maybe that's the case.
I will say, Cody,
you know what? Next time the Royals in the middle of a no-hitter, I won't say anything. I stand by my stance that I don't believe the jinxes exist, but I will say nothing. Uh-huh. I will keep quiet. I will say nothing. I've still got to count of Vinny stats in a couple of weeks, but I will say nothing.
You said, though, in your text message...
I won't even tweet it. I won't even say, like, he's doing something good. I'll just leave it.
In our group text, you mean?
No, regarding the Danny Duffy no-hitter. You said if he throws the no-hitter, could we get him on? Or could we get this person on? I don't blame you for that, for him not throwing a no-hitter. Because you said if he throws it, if you said when he throws this no-hitter, can we get you? Then you jinx it.
You were texting him way too early in the whole thing. Like, just wait till the game's about to end and then text him. Why were you trying to jump way too early?
You could have waited for sure.
I was trying to work ahead a little bit. I don't know. I thought I thought somebody else might text Brett Saberhagen because he's the last guy to throw a no-hitter for the Royals. Are we ever, like, this feels like the year. They've got like a 2.89 ERA. It feels like we should get a no-hitter this year.
It would have been really funny if the first Royals no-hitter since, what, 91, right, would have been from a guy making his MLB debut in a spring training ballpark in Tampa Bay.
It would feel so, like, weird.
You know?
Somebody says, was the Danny Duffy near no-hitter against Tampa, too? Oh, maybe I need to stay away from Tampa?
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up. It's been too long now. I don't remember. Yeah, it was against the Tampa Bay Rays. He threw 16 strikeouts against the Rays. Oops.
No, all right. Bigger picture with the Royals, away from the no-hitter stuff. The Royals are above 500 entering May. We are on May 1st. Congratulations. We made it to May. Despite scoring the fewest runs in all of baseball. That's just, anybody would have told you that.
The combined record of the five teams around them is embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody would have told you on opening day or 2.5 weeks ago that they were going to be above 500 in May and the offense would still be scoring the fewest runs in all of baseball, you guys wouldn't believe it. None of us would have believed it. And, of course, it speaks to what they're getting from pitching. And can you just buy yourself some more time? You made it to May 1st with the offense stinking and you're still above 500. Can you make it to Memorial Day being above 500? Hopefully by then the offense is going, but if not, how long can you do this until all of a sudden the offensive struggles do truly impact
April?
Yeah. I mean, you can't do it all year. Okay.
No,
you can't do it all year.
No.
The offense is going to have to get going, but you made it through 1 month of the season. Here they are, though. They're also in the middle now of this 25-game stretch we talked about a week or so ago, where the only team above 500 you were going to play was going to be the Boston Red Sox. And so they're taking advantage of the schedule softened up
teams
a little bit.
Teams are worse than them.
Same or worse, and their pitching continues to be great. Carlos Estevez has 9 saves already. I know some of you didn't want to be a closer a week ago.
Through April,
he's got
good.
9 in April. Yeah, I'll take that. By the way, he'll get his career high if this kid keeps up. And their leader in saves last year had 18 all year. He's got half of them already.
Well, they've had more chances. Now, they've had a similar number of chances to win for a team that was barely over 500. The bullpen is so much better. Do you know how they can? Last year's team would be 5 to 7 games below 500 with this offense. This year's team is above 500, even if it's a game, is above 500 because of the bullpen. It is because of Estevez. It is because of Urseg. It is because of Schreiber.
And they haven't even had Harvey really much.
Harvey because of missed time, Daniel Lynch, all the guys that are making this plausible. The bullpen is the reason why they're able to do it. They are a full 50% worse than the best offenses in baseball. Let's just say, let's get to mediocre. They're scoring like a run and a quarter less than mediocre offenses in baseball right now. It is a problem. I don't want to just ignore it like it's a non-issue. They got a 2-run home run from Vinny in the first inning. They only managed to scrape together 1 run the rest of the game. But because your starting pitcher and Noah Cameron was going through no-hitter, once again, you get to survive. I can't think of the last team, never a Royals team, because pitching has always been their downfall. I can't think of the last team in baseball that pitched like this and can't hit it a lick. Now, the pitching, and we can get back to that at 10:30, the pitching might is what, how much pitching they have might be how they find the hitter later.
Correct.
But it's still the same things. I just need Jonathan India and Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez to hit. Like, it can't just be Bobby every night, who now has a 21-game hitting streak.
Yes.
Got it early, too, by the way. Like, I don't think they can win 90 games even if Bobby Witt breaks Joe DiMaggio's streak. I don't think they can go.
Yeah.
They can win 90 games.
No, the same thing.
Somebody else has to hit.
Nothing has really changed from, you know, what we were discussing a couple weeks back about the key for the offense. As you said, it's the same pieces that are going to have to get going if this offense is going to suddenly move towards, you know, average, okay? If that's going to happen, it's going to be Vinny and Salvi in India. It's not even close. Yeah, we can be discussing what's happening 7, 8, 9 in the lineup and all that. And by the way, again, Drew Waters has actually been a big piece to this right now. But it's as great as it is that Drew Waters is playing well. Ultimately, it's going to be whether or not Vinny can figure things out and whether India can figure things out. And obviously, Salvador Perez, is this just his normal, hey, you know, it's a bad stretch of games, and then he's just going to be white hot here for a month? Like, that's very real, right? Would that surprise any of us if I told you starting tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, if Salvador Perez just started getting hot for 3 weeks? Because that we've seen that so many times throughout his career, where he'll get hot for 3 weeks, he'll get cold for a week or two, then hot for 2 weeks, then cold for a week, and hot for 3 weeks. Like, we see that throughout his career. We're waiting for that moment, though, this year at least, when it comes to Salvador Perez and what he maybe can get going here.
I view this the same way I did 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, you and I were in disagreement, not with everybody, with some of the listeners over. I viewed this as, what is the more sustainable thing? That the Royals offense is this bad for this long, or that the Royals starting pitching can keep this up? And at that time, I had said, and I still believe this, it is more likely that the Royals pitching will continue at this pace than the Royals hitting. I still personally refuse to believe that Vinny Pasquantino will hit 180 for the entire year, that India will hit 210 for the entire year, that I just generally refuse to believe that that will be the ending numbers for the season for the Royals. This pitching for me is very real, and that's why I can overcome it. Because being over 500 with the league's worst offense on May 1st, that is an accomplishment, not a negative. Like, and I know it's easy to just be like, they're screwed. This will eventually catch up with them, because it might. If they continue to hit at this rate, it will. I don't think they will. I don't think they will hit this bat all year. And if they hit this bat all year, I think they will do something about it in the trade market.
That's why they got to get to
make a decision at some point.
That's why they got to be at 500 or above 500 past Memorial Day. So then you, as an organization, you can feel confident in being buyers as you move into June, July. And that's why this was so key to even just to get into May above 500 and a chance to get a sweep later on this afternoon. And someone says, hey, Salvi's hitting 407 in his last seven games. Yeah, that's the start of it. I wouldn't call him hot now, but that's a good sign, obviously, from where he's been. We see these stretches from Salvador Perez throughout his entire
he's
career.
He's
right?
Cold, like, or hot, it's all the same. If you're looking for a hitter, maybe you think joins the organization later, don't forget, we've only got 2 days left to remind you. The Cody and Gold Road Trip coming up on May 3rd, this Saturday. We'll be in Springfield. There's still tickets available at 96.5thefan.com. They're $10 a pop. We have, at last count, between 210 and 215 people, I believe, coming on this
over
trip.
Over 210.
So if you want to come down and enjoy, it's going to be a massive crowd. We're shooting for, at this point, 250. We'd love 30 more of you to join us. Make it a great crowd. We're meeting for a drink at Harbell's ahead of time, 3:30 to 5, if you want to join us there. And if you pre-ordered your shirt, that is where you can pick it up. Can't pick it up at the game. 3:30 to 5 at Harbell's, H-A-R-B-E-L-L-S. We'll be there before the game, 3:30 to 5. We'll go out after somewhere, too. We're just going to go watch Cags, wear the shirts, make a scene, be rowdy for the club down there, root on the AA squad. So if you want to join us, 96.5thefan.com.
Yeah, 913, the baseball guys, bad luck. Y'all be careful going to see Cags this weekend.
There's one person on the text line that keeps calling you just the baseball guy, and he thinks you're a jinx now.
I just want to point out that we went to watch Bobby Wood Jr. in AA, and it did not seemingly derail his career.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Do you
there.
Guys think Bobby Wood Jr. is pretty good at baseball?
I think
he's okay.
Yeah, you know, I got jury's still out, you know.
I'd like to see a few more years. Maybe.
No, we'll be good, okay? We'll be good on the road trip here. I hope to see all of you tomorrow, or 2 days from now, I'm sorry, in Springfield. And, of course, our road trip is presented by The Art of Sports. If you're looking to sell, to buy, trade your sports cards, whether it is Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. is, of course, right now, along with Cags, probably the two hottest cards in the city, along with Patrick Mahomes. But I was actually yesterday at Art of Sports as well.
Did you pick up Cags card?
Cags cards are hard to find right now. Cags cards are very hard to find right now.
Tough to find. Okay.
But they are located in Town Center Plaza. So if you're looking for some memorabilia and some cards, that is the place to be. And we're excited to work with them. We got some exciting things maybe coming up in the next week or so with them as well in relation to this road trip. So hope to see you guys this weekend. All right, we didn't get to this yesterday, but Drew pointed this out to us. Netflix, it's on Netflix, right? They're the ones that are behind this. Brett Favre documentary. No, not about football and how many Super Bowls he won and all that with the Packers. No,
later I'm looking forward to the Bill Belichick documentary on this dating.
No kidding. No kidding. We got an update on that too. But this is more in relation to the scandals, why I was playing with Jen Sturger. This is related to, of course, the Mississippi welfare allegations in the state of Mississippi as well. Here's the trailer that just came out.
Everybody wish they can be an NFL quarterback. You get all the notoriety, you know, you get paid all the money.
Brett Favre was a cult-like, iconic figure.
People say he was a football god.
There are a lot of reasons why you might question Brett Favre's inner goodness.
Allegations that he sent lewd texts and photos to a New York Jet employee.
Brett Favre ultimately destroyed my life.
In the life of Brett Favre, not everything is what it seems.
He starts to go through life thinking, I can do whatever I want. At what level does that stop?
I was at a game and someone said Brett Favre wanted my phone number. And I just kept saying no. I started getting text messages. And then I started getting voicemails. when I was like, oh, I'm in serious trouble here.
Have you come over tonight?
Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that he got caught up in a federal welfare misappropriation scandal.
You take money intended for the poorest. I don't know how he sleeps at night.
People don't want most of that stuff to come out. People want their heroes.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Pretty damning doc about to come out. Ooh. Now, do we know when this Netflix doc is supposed to be released, Drew?
Summertime, I think, isn't it? I don't know exactly when. I might be wrong, but I think during the summertime.
I'll be honest, fascinated by this because of the... I don't care about the football stuff, May 20th. I know, okay, so just like...
Here in this month. Then.
Three weeks.
Yeah.
So I am fascinated by this because of all the stuff he got into off the field. It's for the same reason we're interested in the Belichick stuff, which we can talk about in a minute, but it's... He was sending unbelievably high number of texts to people he shouldn't have been sending. He's... robbing from welfare recipients in Mississippi. Like, I mean, he ran into it in his post career. So yeah, I'm fascinated by it. Aren't you?
No, I'm going to watch this one. Yeah. I'm going to watch this one just to get more detail. And also just, we all remember the whole Jen Sturger tech stuff, but I forgot some of the exact timeline and how that all transpired. So now this will be one. I'm more interested in this at this point than anything. If you were telling me it was a documentary just about like Brett Favre's playing career, I don't really care.
I'm intrigued to see, like, I think that because the beginning part is going to, I think, showcase what the aura that Brett Favre had when he played, which I was more post-Brett Favre, like, in terms of me consuming football. So understanding how people actually viewed him, like...
One of the most beloved people ever. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just think from... This guy was so good when he was at Southern Miss and everything. People thought that he was, like, the greatest thing ever. And for him to... I think it was Jen Sturgeon, maybe, that said, never meet your hero. You know, you want your heroes. You know, you wanted Brett Favre to be that person that everybody thought he was, but obviously he was not. So that's another classic little storyline there.
That's crazy. Absolutely
never meet your hero sort of stuff, you know?
I mean, not if you... I mean, I think there are some... This is the thing. There are some players that are okay that aren't
correct.
Like
100%
horrible people.
A majority of them
are
probably...
In Brett Favre's case, it does not appear that that is the storyline.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more about Noah Cameron. What can we expect from him moving forward, even though he was, of course, optioned back to AAA Omaha, which is no surprise, by the way. That was always going to happen. And we've got some more details on what the heck is going on with Bill Belichick, and there's even some odds on what could be happening in the future. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we hand things off to Vern, our Royals insider, Royals on Deck show, coming up as they get set for another game against the Rays, trying to get the sweep.
What are you guys going to do with your extra time today? I'm going to go get lunch with a friend, you know?
I don't know yet, honestly. I wish I had some extravagant plans here on a Thursday afternoon. But Jim, that's the plan.
Jim, Drew, you going to go golf or something? I played for the first time all year yesterday.
The weather is questionable, but I do think, I don't know if I'm going to go play, but...
Of course, it's going to be a little too damp.
Yeah, I mean, it did rain overnight. It might be a little bit damp.
Range?
I would say likely not playing. Range is more likely.
Drew, could you get me to like a 20 handicap if I just like, how often do I got to play to be like, shoot 95 most of the time? Because I stunk yesterday. I did make two pars, which actually felt like a huge win for me, having played golf three times last year and zero so far this year.
So a 20 handicap is 90-ish.
Oh. 25. I want to be a 25.
25? You want to be able to break 100?
I just want
to,
like...
I don't have to do anything. If you play golf... if you play golf twice a week...
That's too much!
If you play golf once... Fine.
Can I chip in the backyard for one of those 2 times?
Yes. If you swing a golf club, chip and putt, whatever it is, and then you play golf once a week, all summer long, by the end of the summer, you'll break 100. And it's not going
to
be a problem.
I used to break 100.
I think you can be a 25 handicap by the end of the summertime if you golf once a week... And then chip and putt another day of the week.
I need someone to teach me how to hit like a... You know what I can't hit is a hybrid.
I don't even have to teach you
anything
at all.
It feels like I need to know how to hit a hybrid. And I don't even have that club in my bag. I can't hit it. It's impossible. I am terrible. What do you shoot if you go out there?
I don't golf.
So
have you golfed one? Have you golfed one?
In my entire life, as far as actually playing 18, that's happened 2 or 3 times ever.
Okay.
I don't golf. You know, like that's what I'm not even kidding. Like, so yeah, have I golfed? Sure. I can't say I golf if I've gone 3 times in my life. That doesn't count.
I used to play like 10 times in the summer, and now post kids, I play like 3 or 4 maybe times
a year. You wouldn't even have to play 18. If you played 9 holes once a week and you chipped and putt another day of the week, you could be a 25 handicap without me showing you a single solitary thing. Simply you just going and playing. Because you're going to get...
Watch like TikTok videos or something. Give me golf swing tips.
You would get comfortable...
Just let me drive the golf cart, please.
You would get comfortable with your swing enough where you know it might not be, quote-unquote, the right way to swing necessarily, but you would know your swing good enough. You would know where to aim, where to hit it, how you play. You'd be able to be a 25 handicap by the end of the summertime.
I said I hate golf yesterday after. Because like when I hit a golf ball well, like people hit golf balls differently, right?
Sure.
When I hit a golf ball well, it's like arcing. It like goes... 7 million miles in the air. Big looping shot is how it hit. I did that yesterday onto the green. I'm like, I hate this stupid sport. And I said that after a good shot because I'm like, why can't I just do this all the time? What a waste.
Golf is a stupid game.
I gotta like shank it into the woods 90% of the time only to do this sometimes.
Well, take Rory McIlroy. He duffed it from 80 yards on that par 5, almost cost himself a chance, and then at 15 he had a 7-iron, 207 yards, and stuck it 3 feet from the pin. It's a stupid game.
See, somebody said gold's the perfect build for golf. I feel like I'm too lanky, though. Like, too like,
a lot of lanky golfers.
You think?
Tony Finau is a good example.
I feel like being tall and
sure
skinny isn't good for golf. There's a lot of motion that you got to get under control.
You're saying a lot of things that the arms can go wrong.
I'm going to look up Tony Finau's site because I think Tony Finau's 6'5". He hits the ball at 330.
I'm not saying there's not a professional golfer. I'm just saying for like in general, if you're trying to learn the sport, would it be tougher if you were 6'3 to 6'5 than someone that's 5'11?
I wanted to go ahead and look it up. The average, according to PGA's official statistics,
yes.
The average height for a PGA golfer is on the tour 6 feet. I mean, you got to be at least a little bit taller.
But I'm 6'3".
But that's the average height. Yeah. That's the average height of a PGA
on the low,
golfer.
Because Rory's like 5'8 or 5'9.
Someone
Rory's
says
only 17% are below 5'9.
Someone says no, lanky is good. Okay. All right.
But look,
I need some lessons then. I need some golf lessons.
You should be able to get some power, you know, longer arms.
You would likely have to have custom.
I'm not that tall. I don't need custom clubs.
No, you do. 6'3", you do. Off the shelf, that's for people that are like my height.
6'3", you would need a custom shaft.
Yeah.
I'm just fine with my shaft. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You could have just said clubs. Why did you? I know that it's. I don't want to say the sentence.
Because it's funny. It's funny to do so.
All right, let's.
I'm just telling you what the club's called. I'm just telling you.
Let's get back into Noah Cameron's great debut last night, and we kind of alluded to it briefly, but truly, bigger picture, you know, it's the change in the minor leagues. One pitcher is not going to tell you that everything is now fixed in pitching development, but it is a promising sign that if you want to go and you look at some other pitching prospects in the organization, since they have brought in Brian Sweeney, of course, he's on the big league level, but you look at other guys that are part of the organization.
Just the way they teach pitching.
And how they teach it. This is the first, I actually think, I know people will say Alec Marsh as well, and maybe that's fair, but this is the first pitcher to me that we can actually start to really evaluate from that.
The way I view this, because like the question is like, what can you expect from Noah Cameron going forward? The Royals have now, this is like the first guy that I think like fully in the system. Technically, he's still a Dayton Moore draftee, but the entire time he was in the minor leagues being developed was under the way that they were developing under J.J. Piccolo, not developing under Dayton Moore. And I'll be honest, the way they developed under Dayton Moore sucked and they were terrible at it. They didn't bring anybody into the starting rotation or acquire any talent that had any kind of long, consistent career. The closest they got was Yordano Ventura. Unfortunately, he had tragically passed, but that was probably the closest they got to a guy, maybe Duffy. And we're talking like 8-year career guys, not guys that look like they can pitch consistently at the level. And because they had to go outside the market for Lugo and Reagans, guys they value in talent, I view the Marsh, this run, this. I expect Noah Cameron to be at worst a league average starter the rest of the time he's with the Royals. Great.
I actually think the biggest benefit of what we saw last night still could be, does it give you flexibility in the future if you have to make other moves? That either it's, whether it's him being in it or not, does it make it easier if you tell me that they have to trade somebody like Michael Lorenzen away? Do you feel more confident that you can have Noah Kammer or somebody else that can fill the rotation? Remember, Kyle Wright and Alec Marsh are still at some point going to pitch this year for the big league club. We just don't know in what role, how, whatever, what other injuries happened. It sounds like the fact that Noah Cameron got sent down so quickly as we expected, that they believe Cole Reagans is probably going to make the next start.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have...
They can't call him back up. Otherwise,
they would have put Reagans on the IL and just left Noah Cameron up. And I get it. I saw a few texts said, hey, well, why is Noah Cameron getting sent down while Chris Stratton is really, really struggling? I mean, just completely different roles. I mean, one's a bullpen guy, one's a starter. They're not going to put Noah Cameron in the bullpen right now when he's developing as a starting pitcher. That might have some promise.
A starting pitcher who just threw 6 1/3 scoreless innings and has been a starter at every point at every level.
Yeah.
If it's the playoffs, you can do things different. You can call guys up the end of the minor league season when they wouldn't be pitching anymore anyway, Gold. Do whatever the hell you want. Yeah, but the thing I view is what you do. Let's not say that it's Noah Cameron. Let's not say that it's Alec Marsh or any of the other starting pitchers you like in the system. I don't care if you want to go to A-ball and say Frank Mazzucato is off to a good start in A-ball. I don't think Ace Lacy is telling you in this order. But like whoever your guy is, they clearly, because Noah Cameron wasn't the only guy pitching well in AAA. And we haven't even mentioned Kyle Wright or some of the other guys they were counting on as being maybe a part of the rotation if they need it. This is how they get the hitter. If you're looking at the stats right now and you're saying the Royals have the league's worst offense, which they do as of today, May 1st, they got the league's worst offense. And you're saying, with this pitching, how do they win more games? How do they get hitting? The answer is they have now proven to baseball that they know how to develop pitchers, in my opinion, which means, and they've proven to themselves they can do that.
Have they proven that? Yeah, I mean, look, I'm excited about where it's trending. I don't think we can say that they've shown that they're...
Fully, 100% no.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're proven far more viable than they've been at any other stage
of
the Royals organization. So now that they think they can call up any guy, including a guy like Noah Cameron, and they trust the system that this person will at least come up and give you league average ability, they can move pitchers for hitters. And that's, I'll tell you right now, that is easy money. Easy currency, Gold. You want to go in, you want to go buy a hitter, have some pitching to sell for it, problem solved. These deals will be smooth, as a matter of fact. Won't even be hard to make those deals if that's what you're offering up. If you're offering up qualified starters, let's say they trade Lorenzen because they tell themselves, we'll start Kyle Wright or we'll start Noah Cameron. Lorenzen's been great. He's got the second best ERA on the team in the rotation. I'm not saying it's a good idea to trade him right away, but like, if it comes to July and they still can't hit, I would feel more comfortable now knowing that Noah Cameron is there. I'm not checking anybody off the team. But
and Chris Bubich might end up having an innings limitation much later on in the season. We don't know, right? They could skip some starts at some point. So it just gives them some more flexibility, not trying to act like Noah Cameron's going to be a superstar. But good for him individually. He can help this team maybe in the future. But if not, it tells you about other guys or it can help you with a future trade. Just last night was a very promising sign for everybody involved with yesterday. And of course, when you mention going and acquiring offense or whatever.
That's down the road. You can wait for the offense.
That's down the road, but like if Vinny or Salvi and India, I'm not even saying all three, but if two of the three do get going, well then if you eventually do acquire somebody, that player's not coming in to be the savior. That guy's coming in to be an added option. Right now, whoever, if they were to make a move, that guy would be expected to help carry the offense.
Yeah.
So hopefully you get to a point where the guys you expected to perform, and then you're adding a piece that truly puts you over the top.
Hits seventh, not just
to get you to average, but that can get you over the top. We're way too early into the season for that specifically to happen.
Yeah.
But we're in May now. All right, let's see what the next 30 days bring. Can they still be above 500? After Memorial Day weekend, then it gets real.
I think it was Royals Review put out a stat, which is really telling of where the Royals are right now, just from a... you and I are both more impressed at their ability to win considering the hitting than the other way around. But the years when the Royals pitch like this tend to, truthfully, go pretty well for the Royals. The lowest starting pitching ERA in April in club history, here are just the years. 1985.
Things were pretty good then.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
1972, they were in the playoffs and in the ALCS. It was that pre-Yankees nonsense era. 95, it didn't matter. It was four games. It was before the strike. 2024, that was, okay, maybe a little too, not that one, but 14 and 15 of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
When the Royals pitched like this, three of those years, they won the World Series. And I'm not saying that it's only 6 years total where they've had the lowest ERA in starting pitcher area in April, but that just tells you where they are, man. Noah Cameron came in and just kept up the standard. He didn't do anything all these other guys aren't doing, right? He just kept up the standard. Everyone else is pitching lights out every night for six innings every night. That's what Noah Kammerer was asked to do, coming up for one start in AAA. And if you miss the news, he's been optioned down to AAA. That's not a
surprise.
Hopefully
he can work on some of the walks, right? That's the biggest. If you're going to criticize the performance, he was very fortunate to have some great defense behind him, and the five walks will get you most times.
I saw the general, James MacArthur. He got pumped down to 60-day IL, so he's out even longer.
That's right. Wounded.
Well, honestly,
wounded,
they can take their wounded time. Yeah, you know what?
The general's been wounded for a bit now.
Wounded in battle, but not done.
Yeah. I saw that t-shirt the other day. I was like, that's like a gym shirt now for me at this point in time. I'm not wearing that to a Royals game.
I wore it
publicly
the other day, to the grocery store.
Did you? It's more of a just throw it on the weekend shirt now, around the house or the gym.
Gold's going to cut it into a tank top, when he's going to the gym. Really.
After it gets ripped.
Yeah,
he's got to wait for the crop top until he gets ripped.
I don't wear tank tops. I don't wear tank tops.
Yeah, yet.
No.
That's the point.
I don't think so.
Just
I don't know
wait.
If I'll ever be that person.
Just wait till you got guns. Then,
No.
Then out come, it's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
I wear tank tops regardless, and I look like a stick, so.
I don't own a single tank top, I don't think.
Yeah.
Not one?
I don't think so. Like, come on, Drew, let's just.
The three of us should not be wearing tank tops, Drew. The three of us. That includes you, too.
I actually think Drew's okay. But just look at me. Could you imagine me at 40 years old? You imagine me showing up my kid's school carnival on Friday?
Oh, okay.
In a tank top, man.
There's certain settings where you don't wear a tank top. Like
I get crucified, man.
If you're at the beach, if you go to the beach, you're not wearing a tank top?
No.
No, I'm taking the shirt off.
Well, no, I know that, but you're not. But you're wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, t-shirt.
Just wear a t-shirt.
T-shirt.
I'll be honest.
To the pool, just wear a t-shirt.
This 5 inches of fabric on the top part of my arm is not the difference between me baking at the and like. I'm quite married. I don't think she cares about the
I'm quite married.
5 inches of tan line that might be different on my arm as a result of it. Nobody wants me in a tank top.
Uh-huh.
Not a single person on this planet wants to see me in a tank top. You know who else I wouldn't want to see in a tank top? Bill Belichick.
He's got some fun on the beach,
yes.
Though. There's some photos of that. He had some fun on the beach a while back.
Fun on the beach. No, that story continues, by the way.
Yeah, the new update from when we discussed it yesterday, of course, remember Belichick put out a statement, North Carolina put out a statement saying, they agreed to certain terms of the interview and CBS violated that. CBS very quickly was like, no, we never agreed to only talk about this and not talk about that or your personal life. So they're claiming that he's full of it. And this thing just continues to evolve. Like every day there's some new update. And it is a fascinating story. We're talking about one of the greatest coaches in any sport. We're talking about the head coach of North Carolina and the drama that you would never have expected around him. It's not as simple as why do you care who he's dating? It's the stories within that and how involved she might be in the football program. And now suddenly he's got this woman controlling his life seemingly. Right. And this is somebody that usually would be in control. I remember I told you guys off air, I used to watch, there was a show called American Greed.
Yeah.
I think it's on CNBC or something, but it's usually about Ponzi schemes. And sometimes some of the episodes are about some 70-year-old dude that ends up with this very, attractive younger woman. And we find out that the guy was getting ripped off the whole time and she stole X amount of money or whatever. I feel like we're about to have an episode of American Greed happen.
I think
here.
Everyone, it was so funny how quickly it went from people were he's taking advantage of this young girl to now people are throwing around the words elder abuse. It's it switched quick. The control part of it.
You see, Charles Barkley was
I'm worried about Bill.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably seen some friends of his over the years, depending on the circumstance or this. It's the energy of it is weird. Now, I will defend Bill a tiny bit. Their statement said that they told the publisher they wouldn't include those things. So maybe
the publisher
interview,
wasn't there.
Maybe, right, but maybe the right. publisher set up the interview and the publisher
sure.
did not set up the guardrails that Bill Belichick and Jordan had requested, admittedly, maybe. I'm giving them the smallest benefit of the doubt. I think what honestly got happier is they didn't want to answer the questions. It got awkward and they had to cover their ass. But yes, it feels very, the fact that the stories are, she's shutting down Hard Knocks thing, she's interrupting these interviews, they have a personal, and I'll just tell you right now, that's never a good way to operate. Personal and professional relationship, that goes poorly a lot of times.
She's reportedly made,
Gold,
what
you
was
said
it,
openly, you'd never want to work with somebody you're dating.
No, absolutely not.
What the heck
no.
was it? She made $8 million in real estate after dating Bill Belichick or since then? There was a story that came out.
Yeah.
Okay. She amassed $8 million in real estate portfolio.
This is,
portfolio within months of meeting Bill Belichick.
This is what I'm saying. This is where I get with the American greed thing and like the Ponzi scheme thing. I'm just saying it's very, very weird all of a sudden.
Yeah, it feels like. Well, did you meet on the plane and happen? Like, where were you?
There
both
are now
flying?
There are offshore odds now, Cody.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh no.
Belichick offshore odds and how do they meet? -140 met on Tinder. Through daughter Amanda
no
Belichick,
way
through his
Belichick
daughter +550, Belichick Foundation event +550 on Ashley Madison +850.
Oh my gosh,
that site's still around?
I think the site
that
exists,
was like a
but
huge
that was there's a documentary
the
about
time.
That.
Remember when somebody yeah, released anonymous released all the names of the people who were on the site?
They got hacked, but there's a whole documentary on Netflix about it.
Well, the Tinder thing is weird because if Bill's on Tinder, obviously you can like Gold has mentioned before, he has an age range that he goes to. What Bill, was Bill's age range? 21
didn't have one.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't have one exactly.
I mean, if I'll just tell you, he didn't have one. If that's the
case, can you have that as a setting?
What
on Tinder? Like
oh,
no
can
no
set,
ages.
I mean, you can. You, I mean, if you yes, you can set any age range you want on Tinder.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that yeah. It's not like it can just be anybody, or does he set the?
But if
20 to 24,
I don't think they met on. I don't think they met on Tinder.
I don't think they did
I don't
either.
Think they met on Tinder.
I don't think they met on that plane either.
I think they might have met in other ways.
It doesn't seem like it, Cody. Doesn't seem like
I'm
it.
Having a hard time buying that story too. Oh man, I am kind of fascinated with it. It's the single greatest NFL coach of all time,
mm-hmm.
And it was interesting enough. His story was interesting enough when the NFL wouldn't let him back in. Right? It was weird. You're like, wait, he's the most successful coach of all time, and the NFL's saying no thanks. That makes no sense. I've seen Pete Carroll just got back in the game. Are you kidding me? He got fired from his lifetime team, and he got right back in the game. And you're telling me the single most successful coach can't be in it? That story was interesting from the beginning and only continued to be more so.
Hey, that's it.
That's it. Wow.
I was shocked to hear the music.
Go look at this guy. He's like, well, it was nice talking to you all, you know? Sorry, Royals
we'll see
day
you on
game
Monday,
baseball.
Gold.
Seth Lugo on the bump.
Yeah, I'll see you
guys.
You
gotta
guys
text on, us
no,
when it's in hand tomorrow.
I'll
I want to know
guys
first
on
thing
Saturday.
I'll announce on the show.
Oh, right.
I will
I'm
be here.
Sorry.
Yes, I will be here tomorrow, but I'll be ready in Springfield.
Correct.
Meeting everybody down in Springfield for our Cody and Gold road trip. But yeah, I will text you guys if the card arrives tomorrow.
Everybody wants
the show.
To make sure it's
trust
okay.
Trust me. That's my. I'm. You have no idea.
Send us some pictures.
I will be way less stressed about it once I actually have the dang thing in hand. So appreciate it. Hey, Vern's gonna take over for his on deck show as the Royals go for the sweep. Coming up next.